You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
It's overtime right on time. Craig Hoffman with you tonight, 8 o'clock to 11. We finish between now and then. We talk Washington football's chances to get Aaron Rodgers. Yep, I'm just going to be straightforward. We're just going to talk about it. Why? Because it makes too damn much sense not to. Not just as a radio topic, where some of you are going to be like, ah, this is never going to happen. And some of you are going to be like, oh my God, this could happen. It makes football sense. So let's talk about it like adults. We'll do that for much of this first hour. Then we'll be joined by Howard Beck of Bleacher Report at 9 p.m., longtime NBA writer. I would like his perspective on the man I just watched pass a basketball for another assist. That is Russell Westbrook. Westbrook and the Wizards tonight in Tampa. There's an NBA team in Tampa. Yeah, they're called the Toronto Raptors. It is all tied at 29 with a minute to go in the first quarter. Bradley Beal off to a nice start tonight. He's got 9 on 4 of 7 shooting. Westbrook, 2 points, 4 assists, and 2 rebounds, and a steal, and 3 turnovers, because that's a Russell Westbrook line through a quarter. Also tonight, the Tom Wilson story that continues. I just had a really great conversation about 30 minutes ago with Steve Wino of the Associated Press. You know him. You love him. The one and only Swino. And we're going to play that for you coming up a little bit later. It's actually going to be 2 segments worth. And Wino is the perfect person to talk about this because this is a lifelong hockey fan who has covered it professionally, not just at a local level, but at a national level. Like, he is the AP's national hockey writer. He just so happens to be in our backyard here in D.C., so we get a little special access to him. But he has such a great perspective. And, like, he's someone who passionately cares about the sport, which comes through in the interview, that he is speaking as an informed reporter and giving you information, but also contextualizing it with someone who is extremely passionate about the long-term health and caring about the sport. So, depending on how some other things fall, timing-wise, your calls, etc., we'll either play that later this hour or we'll play Steven. I'm guessing Wino's going to be around 10. But the good news is, if you're like, man, I'm in the car now and that's what I want to hear, there's the rewind feature in the Odyssey app. So anytime in the next 24 hours after 10 p.m., you can rewind. And of course, you can check the podcast, the overtime feed, on the Odyssey app or your favorite podcast app as well. So with that said, I'm sitting here reading a column by Jerry Brewer on the Washington Post about how Aaron Rodgers would like his way out of Green Bay. And the kicker is Rodgers has a dream job. It's not dreamy enough, apparently. And I think it's worthy going into, like, this discussion of, like, why does he want to leave in the first place, right? We all have friends that we just don't understand really why they're single. Right? Hey, that guy or girl is good looking, super smart, has a great job. And some of these you might go, I don't care about that in a partner. But, like, some people do. So we're just going to tick them off, right? Good looking, good job, steady family life, unsteady family life. Who knows? Whatever it is that you just like, man, I don't understand why insert name here is single. Why would someone not scoop them up immediately, or the previous person they were with, why would they have not done everything they possibly could to keep them together? Because he or she, person who we don't understand why he or she is single, is single and seems like a real keeper. And in some ways, that's Aaron Rodgers. How could you get to the point where if you are married to Aaron Rodgers, that you do something where Aaron Rodgers wants to leave you? Because unlike an actual marriage or relationship of the romantic sense, you have a scoreboard here, and we're not really talking about, like, emotional baggage and emotional fit. intellectual and emotional intelligence and the way those play into like human relationships, platonic or romantic. This is football. This is a dude who, when he lines up under center for you, you have a chance to win a Super Bowl as long as he's healthy. There's a scoreboard here, and it says Packers more, other teams less, way more often than the reverse. And so it makes you question, to bring it back to the analogy, like, was there something we don't know about that guy? Like, she's so good looking and seems so smart and is so sweet. How come she's single? Maybe she wants to be. But is there something that we don't know about her or him? Because it definitely flows both ways. And sometimes there is. And other times, like, maybe they were in a previous relationship and, like, time wore on and just they got tired of each other. There wasn't necessarily something. It just wasn't meant to be a life thing. It was meant to be a year thing. And sometimes that happens because at the beginning of something, people are a good fit. But as time goes on, situations evolve and change. And what each party needs is a little bit different. And in its most benevolent form, that is what has happened to the Packers and Aaron Rodgers. The Packers, with Aaron Rodgers, did this 20 years ago. Or whatever the number was that Aaron Rodgers has been in the league, because Brett Favre was maybe coming back, maybe not. They knew he only had so many years left. It's funny, Andrew Brandt, who joined us a couple weeks ago actually on the show and was in the Packers front office at the time, has since told the story that they didn't want to draft Aaron Rodgers. They had to. They tried to trade out of that spot. They were hoping someone else would take him. And it just got to the point where he was the best player on the board, and it was really obvious he was the best player on the board. They couldn't make a trade that was worth anything. And so they're like, whoop, I guess we're taking Aaron Rodgers. That worked out for the Packers pretty darn well. And on some level, that's certainly what happened with Jordan Love, where they get to the point where they're on the board, and they decide that Jordan Love is someone who can maybe give them another decade-plus run of greatness, and they're willing to sacrifice another year or two in their minds, probably. I wouldn't think they think at 38 Rodgers has that much more, especially a guy who has had some injuries over the years, that their needs were planning for the future. Rodgers' needs are a wide receiver right now. Because while Davante Adams is great, he needs some freaking help. And this is where, if you're evaluating your decision as another franchise to trade for Aaron Rodgers, you need to decide, what are your needs? Because if we were doing Milwaukee radio, for those of you not familiar with the geography of Wisconsin, Milwaukee is the largest city close to Green Bay. There's not radio stations really in Green Bay. It's very, very small. You probably like tangentially knew that, but now I've given you a geography lesson that most of you probably didn't need. And now I feel kind of like a pretentious jerk because I feel like I'm talking down to you. I apologize for doing that via these radio microphones. If we were doing Milwaukee radio, the validity of whether the Packers are making an incredibly boneheaded decision or a prescient long-term plan is something we could debate. And you want to know what? I'm okay to even have that debate because it's May. And that's what NFL topics are in May. Are the Packers dumb? 800-636-1067. But if you're looking at it from a Washington football perspective, should they trade for this guy, you need to ask, are you ready to win now? Because Aaron Rodgers would very clearly like to win right now. Because you want to know what Aaron Rodgers is aware of? The fact that he's 38 years old. And despite the fact that Tom Brady's going to play till he's 152, most quarterbacks don't do that. And when it goes, it can go quick. Peyton Manning was amazing in Denver 1 year, set the all-time touchdown records. The next year was awful and somehow still won the Super Bowl. And then he was like, I'm good. And it happened like that. Do I think Rodgers is going to have that precipitous of a fall? No, because he's got more arm strength than Peyton had. He's got more mobility. The styles are different. I feel like Rodgers is going to have a year where he's going to get hurt twice and he's either going to win the Super Bowl and be like, I'm good, I'm out of here, or he's going to get hurt like twice and be like, I'm tired of being hurt playing football, I'm going to go on to the rest of my life. I feel like those are the possible outcomes with Rodgers. He would have to play a while before he just can't, because like Manning, who did play into his very late 30s, and like Brady, who's continuing to be excellent into his 40s, and like Breeze, who played well into his late 30s before retiring and now is going to do stuff for NBC, these guys are all mental masters of the game. So if you can see it a second or a half second before everyone else, which in the NFL is an eternity, then your skills, even if they deteriorate a little, are still on par with guys who are younger who don't see it as well because you can anticipate that much better. And you can plan even for your deteriorated arm strength like Manning did. Rodgers hadn't lost anything on his fastball. But if you're Washington, you have to ask a serious question. Are you ready to win right now? And I'm not talking about winning the NFC East, which you stumbled into last year, because while you were kind of drunk, the rest of the division was hammered. I'm talking about a Super Bowl. So let's talk about it. Like adults. Because Aaron Rodgers is really ticked. And Washington, when you look around the league, is a team that would love to have an even better quarterback than they have now, as much as I like Fitzpatrick for a year, given the circumstances. And might just be good enough to win if they get him. 800-636-1067. Aaron Rodgers, Washington football team, next on The Fan. Aggressive choice, Ryan. Overtime on The Fan. Sorry, I just didn't feel mean enough to come out. I'm in like a happy place, and it's like, wah! Aaron Rodgers, Washington football. What is this?
It's by Ozzy Osbourne. It's Black Rain. To be honest, I haven't heard of it either, but it sounded good. And I feel like the DMV area needs to get fired up for the potential of Aaron Rodgers touching down. Who knows?
Let's just stick to like some old school hip hop. It's more my vibe. Also, I'm very mad for doing that little demon voice because now my throat hurts and I've got 2 hours and 45 minutes left of the show. Craig Hoffman with you. This is Overtime on The Fan. Taking your calls, 800-636-1067, on the idea that Aaron Rodgers could become a Washington football team member, as he is upset at the Green Bay Packers, something we'll talk about with Jerry Brewer coming up at the bottom of the hour, Washington Post columnist who wrote a column about this very topic today. So let's just go to the phones. We got Trey and Waldorf lined up. Why waste time? Trey, thanks for calling. You are on The Fan.
Hey, what's up, guys? Thanks for taking my call. To be totally honest, I don't think Aaron Rodgers, I think he's a great quarterback, but I don't think he's the right fit for Coach Ron Rivera and Washington right now. We already have a savvy vet quarterback, and we got a young guy that's going to duke it out for the spot. And at the end of the day, they're going to want too much for Aaron Rodgers. Like, they're going to want Chase Young or something. And we don't need the drama over here. And I think the Redskins are in a fine place where they're at. I got them having at least 10 wins or more.
That could be possible. Do you think they can win the Super Bowl?
No, but I do think they are contenders even without him.
Okay, let's play your game. Let's go there. Mm-hmm. They give up a first-round pick and Chase Young for Aaron Rodgers. You still have the rest of the D-line. You have all the weapons on offense. It's Chase Young, a first, a future second, whatever the ancillary picks are. But it's based around a first and Chase Young for Aaron Rodgers. You think they can win a Super Bowl this year?
With Aaron Rodgers?
Yeah.
Yes. But it won't happen. It won't happen because the Redskins are too smart, because they would never do that.
Hold on.
He is Brett Favre in the making.
Trey, if you yell louder, your point doesn't get any better. Hold on. You just said the Washington football team is too smart to trade for a guy who you said would help them potentially win a Super Bowl when they can't right now. Isn't the whole point of the sport to win the Super Bowl?
Right. I totally agree. But I would not trade Chase Young for Aaron Rodgers. I couldn't do it. He's too young of a talent. He is a defensive monster, and he is our captain. He's our leader. I can't do that for Aaron Rodgers. That's too much.
Oh, okay. I got one more thing I'd ask you before I let you go. You said you don't know that Rodgers is a good fit for Ron Rivera. Like, pretend that Chase Young isn't in the
reason
deal.
The reason why I say that, he's going to come in here, right? And he thinks Ron is going to build around him. Is this what you want, Buzz? Is this how we're going to run it? And Ron's really not that type of guy. Ron's the type of guy, this is what we're doing, and we're going to stick to it.
Ron doesn't do jack on offense.
Yes, I totally agree. He's a defensive-minded coach.
So what is your problem? Trey, you need to do more thinking about your points. My guy.
Let me back up Trey a little bit. I feel like what he was trying to say was, like, all the drama that has been swirling these past couple of weeks is what we just went through with Dwayne Haskins a little bit last year.
Here's the difference. Dwayne Haskins isn't any good.
I know that. But I think just the point he was trying to make is that it wouldn't mix well with the locker room that Rivera wants to build right now. That's the point I think he was trying to make. But then he kind of outed himself by saying that Rodgers could win us a Super Bowl. So it's like, that's the goal.
Right. That's my whole point in all of this. Helps if I bring the microphone with me. I'm so perplexed I came back here. Microphone's now with me. I know how to do this radio thing. You speak into the microphone. Do you know how to do the football thing? It's where you try to win the Super Bowl. The goal is not to win 5 division titles in the next 10 years. That'd be nice, but only if you win a Super Bowl. You want to know what you do if you don't win the Super Bowl? You're the Philadelphia Eagles of the Donovan McNabb era. They went to 5 straight NFC title games. You know what they weren't? All-time great. You know who's remembered more? The Tampa Bay Bucks team with John Gruden. That was terrible. He got fired. It was so bad, like 2 years later. But you know what they did? They won a Super Bowl, and that lives forever. It'd be awesome to be good every year. And you want to know what? Over time, being good consistently is the thing that gives you a chance. But if you are just above average every single year, you're never winning it. Not in this league. Because if you're just above average, your margin of error is very, very slim. And of course, if you have Rodgers, your margin of error is also slim. If Aaron Rodgers gets hurt, that's your margin of error. But your ceiling's higher. And I love Chase Young. And he is the guy that I would have the hardest time parting with by a lot. It's him, McLaurin, and then a line. I'll talk about pretty much anyone else. And you want to know what? I think that Washington probably feels the same way. Like, if you're going to tell me you can trade Young for Rodgers straight up, I think about it. I have to. He's Aaron Rodgers. You tell me it's McLaurin for Rodgers straight up? There's no bigger Terry McLaurin fan on the planet than me. Terry would tell you you have to do that because he's Aaron Rodgers. But it's going to be one of those guys, and I don't think, like, it also becomes the Carmelo Anthony trade, right, if you do McLaurin, because, like, the whole point of getting Rodgers is that he gets a throw to McLaurin. So I actually probably wouldn't do McLaurin because of that, because it defeats the whole purpose of making the trade. You have now put Rodgers back in the same situation he's in Green Bay, where he doesn't have the talent around him. Your best receiver is Curtis Samuel. You're not winning the Super Bowl. Curtis Samuel, Steven Sims, Adam Humphries ain't going to do it. But you have enough depth along the D-line that Montez Sweat is there. You have a couple of other guys, and obviously you have Alan Payne, Ioannidis. That unit's still yoked. But I think it's probably more likely an Allen, you know, like Allen and whoever else. Do you give up Cam Curl? Like, I'm just waiting for the call that says, you can't give up Cam Curl for Aaron Rodgers. And most likely it's future draft picks. Because that's how these things work. But at the end of the day, Washington plus Rodgers, the thing Trey is right about on the phones at 800-636-1067, is that Washington, with Rodgers at quarterback, McLaurin, Samuel, Sims, Humphreys, Gandy Golden, whatever other dudes they throw out there. And then obviously Gibson, McKissick, all them dudes. And the other option, by the way, is Sheriff. If Green Bay is ready to invest in O-line in front of Jordan Love, do you trade Sheriff and make him the centerpiece of the deal? Done in a heartbeat. Pay him all the money. Have fun, Green Bay. But that group of weapons, plus Rodgers, plus this defense, even minus a piece or two in a trade, that's a title contender. Today. Today. And be damned the consequences. Because it's a two-year marriage. This is a short-term relationship. And you know that going in. This isn't even a marriage. This is a couple of dates. And sometimes you just go on some dates to have some fun. That's what this would be doing for Washington football. Craig Hoffman with you. It's overtime on the Fan. The Rodgers dynamic goes far beyond the field, though. The idea that a superstar quarterback who spent nearly two decades in one place, had a lot of success, is now like, screw this, I want out of here. That's what Jerry Brewer wrote about in the Washington Post, and we're going to talk to him about it next. I have a group chat that's exploded with hot donut takes. Perhaps we'll do that in the next segment, but right now we're going to keep things on track and talk to Jerry Brewer of the Washington Post. Craig Hoffman, this is Overtime on the Fan. Jerry wrote a fantastic column in the Post about Aaron Rodgers, who we've spent the last 30 minutes talking about here on these airwaves. But first, before we dive into it, allow me to say, Jerry, hello. It has been a long time. How are you, my friend?
I'm great, man. Yeah, it has been a long time. You know, you didn't send me no cookies or candy on Easter or anything.
Well, apparently I'm going to be able to figure out in this group chat that's exploding my phone right now what kind of donut I should or perhaps shouldn't send you. So do you have a hot jelly donut take, good, bad? Otherwise, I can inject it into the conversation.
On jelly donut?
Yeah.
Oh, I hate jelly donuts. It's just too much for me. I don't want to, like, have any donut where when I bite into it, something gooey is coming, like, and attacking me.
Okay, that's fair.
That just doesn't appeal to me.
Okay, so not a cream-filled person either? Not a stuffed donut?
You know, some cream-filled are okay, but in general, no.
All right, I'm going to...
I think the nasty donut is good enough itself. So I don't want, like, that extra mess.
Okay, I respect it. I'm going to save my thoughts for the next segment. Because otherwise I'm going to waste the segment now. And that's poor planning on my part. So we're just going to, I respect your take. I don't think it's a bad one. And I'm going to hold off my thoughts for another 15 minutes. And we're going to talk about Aaron Rodgers instead. The title of the column for Aaron Rodgers and a new breed of superstar, a dream job is no longer good enough. Rodgers is following the path of so many other superstars in other sports. It seems like in the NFL, this is a fairly new phenomenon, though, that specifically quarterbacks, with Brady doing it last year, although his contract situation was not what Rodgers is, forces his way somewhere else, gets to a new location after a decade and a half, two decades in one place. Why do you think that this is happening with more frequency in sports in general, and why do you think it is happening now in the NFL?
Well, the mechanics of every one of these decisions and moves are dramatically different, but I do think there is a copycat scenario to it. I think a lot of athletes and a lot of celebrities in general watch each other, and they want what the other one has had, and they sort of create this thing that they put in the back of their minds of, like, this is what being a superstar means now. And in sports, really, you know, it starts with, you know, LeBron James's impact over the past decade plus and how he has created chapters to his career in multiple places. I think it's kind of born from that. There is this idea now
that the elite of the elite, you know, the truest superstars, the generational talents, that you should lean into your excellence and desire to have some creative freedom within your organization and some level of influence if they're not doing things the right way. Or in some cases, even if they are doing things the right way, that you have the power to do it, to have it done your way. And you're seeing, like, there's only so many athletes on that level who can have it like that. But the ones that do have it like that, they're starting to apply constant pressure for the organizations to fulfill not an organizational vision, but their vision for the organization. That's sort of the price to pay. That if you have me, the rarest of rare assets, you're going to, there's a price to pay for that beyond money, which is to allow the way that I see the game to take over and to tailor your roster to the way I see it. That is incredibly rife with complication. And just because you are a phenomenal star player doesn't mean that you know what builds teams and what makes a great team a great team. And then in some cases, I think it's just a matter of, tension, because it's incredibly hard to keep a good professional team together. I mean, we don't give enough credit to that, you know, a couple bad moves and it can really send your franchise spiraling. And for all the great success the Packers have had with Aaron Rodgers, you know, in the 16 years that he's been there and, 13 years that he's been the starter, they did have a lull there where they should have absolutely won a second Super Bowl. They didn't get it done. Mike McCarthy went from being seemingly this innovative coach to a bit of a disaster by the end. And they put too much on Aaron Rodgers' back to make everything okay. And then it kind of fell apart. And he started to stray. You know, his mind went elsewhere. He doesn't trust like he maybe used to trust the organization. And on top of that, he's just kind of a weird dude and a different dude anyway. So the bottom line, Craig, is that just, you know, 16 years with any player, no matter how great, is a long time. And we keep being pushed in this direction of it's going to become rarer and rarer, even for the greatest of all time talents, to be synonymous with one organization for their entire career. That's just not what this generation of players desires. And if Brady, who's kind of part of the older guard, wasn't into it or just kind of outplayed it, like, a lot of other guys are going to be in that boat, especially when you start talking about the younger dudes.
How much of this is a conscious choice about the flex of having power? And this can be specific to Rodgers and also the general, you know, shift that you're talking about. The flex of, I have this power and I'm going to use it, versus a genuine desire to win, and they think this is the best way for them to win, whether they are right or not.
All of the above. I mean, it's a flex of power. It's a level of insecurity from a star. There's definitely a spoiled athlete, entitled athlete component to it. But I still keep coming back to the idea that when the franchise is like, have a run, like all of these guys, like, Deshaun Watson, now his case is complicated. He's the only guy that, like, within 5 years just was like, I've had enough. Like, all of those guys give you a run. Like, they do fall in love with being your franchise player and the face of an entire city. And they give you a run into your second contract. And so they, you know, all of these guys, you know, even like a Kevin Durant gave, 8 years in Oklahoma City. So they give you time for you to get it right. The problem is, like, when you do screw it up, they are inclined to start looking elsewhere. It's on them, because this is like just a way more mercurial softer, flightier group of dudes that we're dealing with. But then it's also on the franchises to not play around when you've got a star player. Like, I feel like when you have one of those rare talents and you recognize that he has become that, your sense of urgency needs to become greater. And I think a lot of cases, their sense of urgency is just not there. And it's the tension between, you know, trying to like build a sustainable winner for a long time versus trying to maximize for a short period of time. So there needs to be more urgency from these franchises because it does work both ways. It's not just about the athletes flexing.
Jerry Brewer, Washington Post, with us on the BetQL guest line. Craig Hoffman with you here on Overtime on the Fan. So a very simple question then. Have the Packers screwed up? Because you can make the argument that they're doing what they did with Roger when they drafted Rodgers with Favre, where they're like, all right, we're going to plan for the long term. But also, like you said, like if it's pretty clear that this guy's one of the best, where is your urgency to win a championship if the whole point of the sport is to win a championship?
Yeah, I mean, that becomes the question. Like, is should the whole point, you know, be to win a championship? I mean, I think that it can be the dominant point, but it doesn't have to be the entire thing. Like, I think there's something to be said for, especially in the NFL, being able to have a board that's big enough for you to throw a lot at it and it stay up. Because it's so hard to get these titles. I mean, we've kind of been fooled, like with these guys, you know, especially a Brady who's won 7 of them, and even a LeBron who's now got 4, and Kobe and MJ winning 6 and all of that. You know, all of the post, you know, Russell, Celtics, Lakers, you know, Magic, all of those guys. I think we've been fooled into thinking that like that is the norm, even for a superstar. Like, it's not the norm, especially in the NFL. If you can get one of these in your career, that's pretty special. Like, and if you can get one a decade as a franchise, that's really special in sports on average. So we kind of forget that. I think you're always kind of like you're trying to create these opportunities for you to win championships without being one of those franchises that, oh, they won it and then they were terrible for like, you know, 5 or 6 years. Most NFL franchises don't want to be that, but it's hard, you know, and if you go for it, it doesn't mean that you're going to get it. And so like I think they're always worried about that like, okay, we just like went over the top to go for it. And we had a couple injuries or we underachieved and everybody's laughing at us. And then now we're in salary cap hell and we got to tear it all up. They try to toe that line to do both. But in the case of Rodgers, I'm talking like post, you know, they win the Super Bowl, they go 15-1. The Giants beat them. And then like they sort of like started to wade into a little bit of nothingness. And they were still good, but they weren't great. They still had opportunities, like, you know, and they blew that NFC title game to Seattle. And just, you know, I still can't fathom how they lost that game.
Yeah,
so they had
wild.
A lot of opportunities to get that second title, and they didn't. And there were some times when it would have been like, okay, we understand that you guys don't like to be, like, the big free agency spender, but spend this year. Or we understand that, like, you're really trying to do this value-based draft system, but go get a damn receiver. There were moments where they blew it like that, but like people want to like give me this oversimplified argument of like they failed Aaron Rodgers. They have not failed Aaron Rodgers. They just haven't. Like, the conversation on both ends is way more nuanced with that than that. And so I don't care how much people scream it, and I don't care how much people want to focus on the bad or the good. It's a little bit of both. And it's a whole lot of the fact that, like, Aaron Rodgers is just a different dude. And, like, the last thing you probably wanted to do to an independent thinking dude like Aaron Rodgers is have him spend, like, 5 years of his career saving your butt. Because now you can't put that back in the bag. Aaron Rodgers doesn't trust you.
Yes, that is so true. And I will also say this, like I knew someone who used to work in Green Bay's front office, and there were a lot of questions about the new GM when he came in internally, and certainly those wound up trickling down to Rodgers. So the mistrust of Gutekunst in that organization is I think far, it goes beyond Aaron Rodgers. And I'm curious if that becomes a larger part of the story moving forward. One more question for you on the way out, though, Jerry. Is Jerry Brewer from the Washington Post is with us. What kind of team should be trying to trade Aaron Rodgers? Understanding he is a different dude, understanding he's 38, has had some injury history. What kind of team fits the profile that should be looking to get into this short-term but possibly very fruitful relationship with Aaron Rodgers?
I mean, I hate to be provincial about it, but, you know, the team in the city that we're talking about right now, I mean, I think when you look at the Washington football team, they absolutely should make a run. I think they should create, like, some real limitations on what they're willing to do. But they absolutely should bat it around, especially if it's a scenario that takes like a bunch of draft assets, but not necessarily like an elite young player like Chase Young. They should take a look at that. You know, any of these franchises that are emerging that don't have an elite quarterback should. And I think like if he's truly on the market and they're truly willing to move forward quickly, let's say in the next year. I don't see a scenario in which he's gone before the 2021 season, but let's say, you know, by this time next year, that's the timeline. I think a lot of franchises, I think the market for him is going to be incredibly robust, especially after what Brady has done since signing on as a free agent at what, 42 when he signed the deal, and the success that he's had. But people do have to remember, like, there's only one Tom Brady in terms of being able to maximize championship opportunities. Getting Aaron Rodgers doesn't guarantee that he's got that penchant to win the big game as much as Tom Brady, because Tom Brady is one of one when it comes to figuring out how to get those moments. But, like, you know, again, you can't guarantee yourself a championship, but you can guarantee yourself an opportunity. And Aaron Rodgers, you know, short of Brady, is that guy that, like, if you get him and you have enough pieces around him, he absolutely can elevate you to the championship caliber stage. And he probably is someone, considering the way that he played last year, if you've got a pretty good thing, he's probably a guy who can give it to you at a high level for another 3 years.
The column is at WashingtonPost.com/sports for Aaron Rodgers and a new breed of superstar. A dream job is no longer good enough. Jerry Brewer wrote it. It's excellent. And Jerry, I appreciate your time here on the radio. We'll do it again soon. And I'll send like some cookies, but not any kind of donut filled with anything, just anything.
Hell no. And I can't wait for your hot take on these donuts.
All right. Well, you know, you're out there on the West Coast. The Odyssey app works well. I've heard.
All right, I'm on it.
All right, man, I'll talk to you soon. That is Jerry Brewer of the Washington Post. I'm Craig Hoffman, apparently a corporate shill here on 106.7 The Fan. Yeah, that's it. That's the tease. We're talking about donuts next. But it doesn't, like it, like Jerry said, you're not at risk for it exploding everywhere. Like, that can be very well done. A great jelly or jam, the perfect enriched dough, chef's kiss. Same thing for the cream filled. If you just bite in and you're like, this is cream and crap dough. Like, it's not great. I feel like it's a little high. I mean, obviously look, the floor is lower if you got like a curd or something that's gone wrong. Like, of course it's dairy, but like, keeping it in the scale of edible, like, I feel like cream's floor is a little higher, but it also is a high ceiling. That's my hot take on the donuts. And that is my long form donut discussion outside the group chat, which is currently blowing up that I probably got 100 messages in this 4 minute segment. Ryan, quickly, you have 30 seconds to respond.
So you never brought up the pudding filled donut, which I'm a little triggered about because those are the best by far in my opinion.
Where do you get a pudding filled donut? Like, that's in the cream filled family. Like your curds, your custards, your puddings.
Or the custard. That's what you really call it.
If you're not like four, it's filled with custard and not pudding.
I'm still a little young. So I mean, you
with the palate of a 13-year-old.
Those are good, though. I mean, it takes a sophisticated taste to have pudding in your donut. I think the jelly's a little too far for me.
Your time has expired.
It is.
It's custard. It's not pudding. It's not what you feed an elementary schooler. It's a little more complicated than that. This concludes the Donut Talk. Howard Beck is going to talk about basketball next. Craig Hoffman with you on The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.